to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, March 11th, 2010. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got so much to talk about today. Othman is in the control room, his hand hovering over the phone. Our phone number, as always, is 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. Let's get into it right now. ABC News, fresh from its stunning victory on Nightline, attempting to smear and degrade the 9/11 truth movement, and in reality actually triggering a banned in Boston surge of interest in the subject, blows it again today. Now, as you know, we've got this huge bash-a-thon going on over Toyota. A little bit of the fallout is also on Nissan over the this gas pedal issue. And even though the gas pedal assembly itself, as I understand it, is actually made at a subcontractor in Indiana, this has been all just, you know, full tilt boogie on bad Toyota and bad Toyota, and this is why you should buy American, and, you know, basically the start of a trade war going here that's not making us any friends anywhere in Asia right now. And ABC did yet another in a long series of shows to just remind everybody that Toyotas are bad. You've got to do, you know, bad Toyotas here. And they got caught once again faking a shot for their so-called news report. This latest one, they basically, they had a close-up of a tachometer on the engine showing it surging, indicating that the engine was speeding up. It was not actually in a car that was speeding up. The whole thing was rigged to create the shot for ABC. And, of course, this calls into question for a news network how much of what they're showing is really news as it happens and how much of it is staged. Now, we went through this kind of a thing with NBC and these GM trucks with side-mounted fuel tanks. Turned out they'd rigged the truck with explosives to blow it up. I mean, the corporate media, they understand there is no law that says they have to be truthful with the public. And sometimes they get just a little bit reckless. And I know ABC, you know, I've actually worked for them on numerous occasions. But the bottom line is I'm going to give them a little bit of a butt-whooping here because they deserve it, because we cannot trust anything ABC is telling us. A little bit of history. I love to call ABC the Food Line Network because they've got a long, long history of very, very scandalous behavior. Back in 2020, broadcast a story in which John Stossel claimed that they'd gone out and bought foods at organic and health food stores and then taken to a laboratory and proved that they were no more safe from contaminants and chemicals and additives than food bought at the major conventional supermarket chains. Okay? A follow-up, and they specifically talked about E. coli bacteria, which can be a problem in high numbers. And basically, Stossel went out there and said the organic markets had higher rates of E. coli and just as much pesticides and chemicals as the food bought from the regular commercial market chains. Obviously, the commercial market chains have a vested interest in any news story that is going to bash the organic and natural health food stores. As it turns out, an investigation by the Environmental Working Group revealed that the experts that ABC had conducted the lab tests never actually did any tests. They simply lent their name to ABC's story, and ABC just made up whatever they wanted to say in order to favor these big commercial supermarket chains who are regular advertisers on ABC television. Now, Stossel repeated the story once. There were calls on him to apologize. He refused.
I never apologize.
And finally, ABC ordered him to apologize on the air for defaming the organic and natural health food markets, which he finally did. Stossel also got busted misreporting on his story on Erin Brockovich, which you all know was the woman who found hexavalent chromium in her town's drinking water supply and led to a huge, huge lawsuit. The company that had been putting that chemical into the these drying pits or cooling pits that weren't properly sealed had been lying to the entire town saying, oh, no, it's chromium 5, which is really, really harmless. And it turned out it was chromium 6 and just caused all kinds of serious medical problems. And so Stossel basically bashed on Aaron Brockovich. And again, there was money from advertisers on the line. Now, the reason I call ABC the Food Lion Network is because they got sued by Food Lion for like $5.5 million in damages because of ABC TV's Primetime Live. Now, this was admittedly a lot of years ago when $5.5 million really was a lot of money. Two ABC producers posed as food workers in order to get jobs at a Food Lion store. They were assisted by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which gave them fake references. Now, at that time, the union was trying to organize the Food Lion supermarket workers. So, this, again, see, there's a little vested interest going on there. So the producers secretly videotaped the Food Lion workplace with hidden cameras. And using this footage, Primetime Live reported that Food Lion was selling tainted meat. The bad publicity forced Food Lion to shut down 84 stores. And, I mean, put thousands of people out of work. Thousands of people out of work. Now, Food Lion sued, and when they got the actual videotapes, the unedited videotapes from these two ABC producers, they basically found that it was a complete manufactured fraud. One of the videos showed an ABC producer taking chickens whose sell-by dates had expired and putting them back in the rack in the racks for sale, even though a manager had said, "Don't do that," and then had the other producer videotape them. And they had a videotape showing instructions from legitimate employees of Food Lion, not undercover producers, how to handle the food, didn't follow those instructions. And you know, they were literally finding anything that wasn't up to par and putting it out there to sale and videotaping it to create this whole thing. And Food Lion wasn't really doing any of those things. And it was just, and it was amazing. And it went to court. And they got busted, and they got sued. And you know what's really amazing is that Rick Kaplan, who was the producer in charge of that Food Lion segment, should have been fired, should have been the end of his career. And he left ABC and was given charge of CNN. While he was at CNN, he issued a directive to all writers at CNN that the word scandal was never to be used in connection with President Clinton, no matter Whitewater, no matter any of the things. So ABC has a long, long history of being a little bit less than completely honest and accurate about the news. And they've been busted again relative to the Toyota situation. You cannot trust the TV news. This is a good example of that. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Drew in California. Aloha, Drew. Welcome back to the show. And I apologize for yesterday. I realized after we let you go that you hadn't had a chance to finish up. So why don't you pick up where you left off about the strike?
Okay, well, that's not a problem at all. I realized the phone lines were full. I was going to ask first if you'd actually gotten a chance to read the whole of the email that I sent you.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't. Can you just sort of bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, not a problem. Well, first, I gave you a couple of websites that you might want to check out. I know a lot of people will ask you about if you've heard various speeches or you have recordings of them. The two of the websites actually have recordings of several of those speeches that are
okay.
Mentioned.
Drew,
yeah.
You're talking to me like I know what you're talking about, and I do a little bit. But we've got a radio audience out there which needs to be brought up to date.
Like when people bring up the various speeches from John Kennedy or various presidential addresses and things of that nature. The first website is for anybody who wants to look, it's AmericanRhetoric.com, and they do have a collection of everything from current events to Washington's inaugural.
Uh-huh.
A good place to look for some of that stuff. Some of it's text, some of it's reading. I was going to ask you, I wanted to actually send you a copy if you've ever heard of the game Lie, Cheat, and Steal, the game of political power.
Okay. Drew, we're gonna have to take a commercial break, and I'm sorry, we're gonna have to let you go because this phone connection that you're on, I'm really having a great deal of difficulty hearing you. So let's continue this dialogue by email, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got a lot of news to get through. I want to talk about this Paul Thorsen, this scientist who was the principal investigator, supposedly, on numerous scientific reports that were cited by the CDC and pharmaceutical industries as absolutely proving that there was no connection between mercury-based preservatives like thimerosal in vaccines and the epidemic of autism that is sweeping across the American nation. We have far more incidents of autism than any other country. Interestingly enough, if you look at the Amish community, Amish children who are not vaccinated never become autistic. Somebody sent me an article saying, oh, yes, there's Amish kids who are autistic, but then you go in and you find out that they got talked into vaccinating their children, and they wound up with autistic children. The children who are not vaccinated, Amish children who are not vaccinated, do not become autistic. So we're getting back to this Paul Thorsen, who made a huge amount of money with research grants and everything because he was going to provide the scientific research that the pharmaceutical companies wanted provided in, you know, proof that says, hey, we're off the hook. We're not responsible for the autism epidemic. Go on. We're going to go on putting our preservatives in the vaccine and nobody can stop us. And on top of which, they got this weird provision in the legislation that created the Department of Homeland Security in the United States. There was a rider that indemnified vaccine manufacturers for any ill effects of their product. Now, the overt justification there was that during a time of biological warfare, the pharmacies, you know, were the pharmaceutical companies were going to have to rush out the vaccines, and they couldn't be expected to do all the testing. And, you know, if some people got hurt and some people got sick, well, that was just you know, war losses and, you know, bad things happen in war, so forth and so on. But it was recognized at the time that this was a blanket indemnification of the vaccine makers for all the damage caused by their products throughout the years, including the last go-around with the swine flu vaccine that killed more people than the vaccine did. And now we have this body of evidence that mercury preservatives. I mean, mercury is known to cause brain problems. I noticed that Alice is in the theaters right now. We're going to go see it in 3D. The character, Lewis Carroll's character of the Mad Hatter, is based in reality, because in Lewis Carroll's day, the felt, the fur that was used to make the felt for quality hats, was prepared for felting using mercury, because if you soak the hair in mercury, it makes the little scales on the outside of the hair stand up, and they'll grab and interlock, and it makes a stronger, much more durable and reliable felt from which the hats can then be made. But hat makers, because of their working with this very toxic material, would develop psychological problems. Mad as a Hatter is based on the real toxicity of working with mercury. And these guys at the pharmacies are shooting it into your kids' bodies with a needle and saying, don't be silly. It could never, ever possibly harm you. So there was this big debate about it. A lot of autistic children out there. One of my very good friends from this TV show that I work on has an autistic son. He did a wonderful documentary. In fact, we had him on the show a while back. I need to get him back on here now. And so we had, all of a sudden, we had this whole bunch of studies that CDC came out with and said, see, the vaccines are harmless. And they all had this Paul Thorsen on them as the key scientist. For all the, you know, CDC said, we're going to give you the money. You're going to come back with a study that says the vaccines have got nothing to do with autism. Now, he's disappeared now with a couple of $1 million in research funding. And now it's coming out. The more they dig into this fraud, they're finding out that he misrepresented his background to his employers and the world, that he's guilty of forgery on the documents that allowed him to just grab the money and skedaddle, And here's where it gets really good. CDC and the other major autism research centers that were out there saying, no, there's no link between autism and vaccines, have known about this guy for months. They have known there was reason to be suspicious of him. They have known there was some kind of a fraud going on. They have known for months, and they never said a word to the public. So, the CDC, the same CDC that promised you that when pigs fly flu was going to decimate the entire planet if you didn't buy a ton of vaccine from their buddies over at the pharmaceutical companies, CDC now has a great deal of egg on its face, and deservedly so. And it's just one more reminder that when a society goes corrupt, it goes all corrupt. The moral and the immoral are mutually exclusive societies. Neither one tolerates the presence of the other. Once a society goes corrupt, it goes all corrupt. All of its institutions go corrupt. And CDC is no different. They are there for the money any way that the money can be brought to their door. So for those of you who have family members who are autistic, and it's a very difficult task that you have dealing with that, those of you who have autistic family, you need to understand that all of this evidence the government waved at you to deter you from suing the vaccine manufacturers, it was all a lie. It was as fake as the hockey stick. It was as fake as Saddam's nuclear bombs. They were lying to you again. So I don't know where Paul Thorson is. If he shows up here in Hawaii, I'm right in the nose. Now, speaking of lying and deceptions here, as I mentioned at the top of the show, ABC Nightline did a segment about the 9/11 Truth Movement. Very obvious bias and spin. Oh, they're a bunch of kooks. They're nutcases. Everything's already been refuted. Why do you keep making these claims? It's already been officially denied. And, by the same government that's lying to us about global warming and the vaccines and so forth. And it didn't have the effect that they wanted, because the server logs at my website, at least, are showing a major increase in traffic to all of my 9/11 stories. People are digging in. They want to find out. They know they cannot trust the TV networks or the government to do this. So they're digging in on there. Now, Dr. David Ray Griffin on 9/11 has basically come out and said, we're at the level of proof. This is no longer conjecture and theory. We have proof that what actually happened in New York on 9/11 is not what the government said it was. The government has been caught lying. The burden of proof is on them now. We don't have to prove anymore that the facts don't match up with the official story. If the government wants to make a counterclaim, they must prove their case to the American people. They don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. You know, fool me once and so forth and so on, okay? It's like Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time, especially in the age of the Internet. We're going to take a break here for some commercials. We'll be right back a little bit more on 9/11. Then we're going to go into the economy, climate. We got so much stuff to talk about today. We're probably not going to get to the bottom of the list. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're just wrapping up on 9/11 here. There have been some new developments. Now, if you go back and you look at the news stories that came out basically at the time of 9/11 itself, and I realize it's getting to be a long time ago, and the reason we're keeping this current is because every time the U.S. government wants to go kill somebody or torture somebody or whatever, 9/11 becomes the excuse. In fact, the U.S. government is beginning to sound exactly like Israel, where every time Israel wants to bulldoze another home or drop white phosphorus on children, they say, oh, Holocaust, 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 Holocaust. And so the U.S. government's getting the same things. Oh, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. Like it's the license to go out and behave like an absolute barbaric jerk. You know, we say the magic incantation, Holocaust, 9/11, and we can do whatever we want, and nobody is supposed to say anything about it. So if you go back and you look at those stories, the head of the FBI actually admitted that there is no evidence at all that any of the named hijacker suspects were ever on any of those airplanes. They have a photo of Mohammed Atta, a blurry, might not even really be him, but they have a photo of him at a completely different airport. And they say, and then he hopped on a plane and he got over here and he went around and got on the plane. Now, even before 9/11, airport security was very tight. You had metal detectors, you had TV cameras, and once again, this wonderful magic thing where none of the cameras were working at any of the gates where these alleged hijackers got on. And by the way, little side note, ICTS Israel, there's another ICTS in Europe, it's not those people, but ICTS Israel, the same security company that was in charge of the gate at Amsterdam, where the crotch bomber got past security, the same ICTS Israel security that was in charge of security at the De Gaulle airport, where the shoe bomber got on his plane, was also in charge of all of the airports in the United States that the 9/11 hijackers supposedly got past security with all of their box cutters. And there were early reports of guns and gas grenades as well that sort of went away as being inconsistent with the official story. So now, over on the Alex Jones show, he was interviewing Michael Springman, and according to Michael Springman, he is saying that the CIA arranged for the visas for at least 15 of the 19 9/11 hijacked suspects. Now, right now, that's not going to sound all that surprising because we know that somebody pulled strings to get the crotch bomber on the airplane at Amsterdam. He didn't even have a passport. And this sharply dressed gentleman who has been linked with U.S. intelligence, we don't know exactly how, basically walked him past security and got him on the airplane. So it's looking more and more like this was just, it was just a manufactured incident to sell us all a war. And it happens throughout history. I mean, the Gulf of Tonkin, there weren't any torpedoes there. They had one erroneous report from an inexperienced sonar man who heard his own ship's propellers and screamed torpedo. And it flashed up the chain of command, and almost immediately the captain sent a message saying, false alarm, sorry, new guy on the headphones. And Johnson sort of let that second report fade away and went to Congress and said, we have been attacked. We're off into Vietnam. That's the way these things get done. All war is based on deception, Sun Tzu. All right, moving right along here, and speaking of lies and propaganda, we're going to talk about the economy just a little bit here. There's a story out today, and it's been echoed all over the place, slowly Americans regaining their lost wealth. This one lit up the top LEDs on the bovine excrement meter. Just pegged that thing right there. And if you look in the actual story, what it says is that they're basing this regaining their wealth on the increase in the stock market. Everything else is status quo ante. You know, we're not seeing any changes there. But we're gaining our wealth because the stock market is going up. Well, great if you own stock, but for most Americans, they have sold their stock certificates a long time ago just to stay in their homes or to stay eating. And, of course, we are seeing more and more evidence that the stock market is being manipulated so that the government has always got one positive thing they can point to defuse all the other criticism about the economy. There's another story that we have at whatreallyhappened.com linked. It's called How Have U.S. Stocks Defied Gravity for So Long? And it points out right there, if you're looking at the trading action in regular hours, you would think there's no profit made since early September. And they're saying that because if you study the actual trading activity, all of the upside since September 14th has come from the after-hours action. You know, a lot of people think that the stock market opens in the morning and it closes at night and that's it. No, there isn't. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in those off hours, particularly in the futures area. So every single day, minimum volume has been pushing the futures index higher. And they're playing around with all these little numbers and stuff, and it says, oh, well, goodness, the stock market's going up. We've known since the Clinton administration that the plunge protection team working with Goldman Sachs was buying huge futures contracts on the indicator issues, meaning the stocks from which the Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P are calculated. And if you look at the non-index stocks, they're not performing the same way. But Clinton and now Obama are waving that Dow Jones Industrial Average as their banner that the economy is actually doing okay. And for the insiders, it probably is. But for the casual day trader, who's, you know, playing with the little penny issues and stuff, they're getting eaten alive out there. Now, speaking of eaten alive, we all know that for some strange, mysterious reason, even as the economy has gone downhill and the stock market has gone through some serious ups and downs, that for some reason the price of gold, which intuitively you would think would start to increase, it has stayed very, very low. And every time it looks like it's going to start going up, all of a sudden it quiets back down again. And a lot of observers have said this is counterintuitive. Somehow the price of gold is being suppressed. Now, what we're getting from Adrian Douglas is that he has been studying the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA Bank. And what he's talking about is the reality that most people who buy and sell gold as an investment don't take physical possession of the coins in bullion, because gold is purchased to hang on to rather than other commodities that are purchased to use, like orange juice and pork bellies and so forth. Most in small investors, at least, feel comfortable letting the broker hang on to their actual physical gold. And here's where it gets to be a problem, because this relationship allows the bullion bankers to sell gold in the form of paper certificates that doesn't exist. This increases their profits because there's no cost going out, and they're not actually buying the gold that they claim to have for their clients. They're basically running it the way a bank does, where they don't really have all the money on hand that people have deposited there, because they never expect everybody to take it out at the same time. Now, this for the gold brokerages is illegal. But it's being tolerated apparently because the more of these paper gold investments are out there, it depresses gold prices because of this principle of supply and demand. And this is very beneficial to the central banks, who don't want people abandoning their financial instruments to go into gold. It's beneficial to the stock market, who don't want people to abandon the equities market to get into the gold. It's working out wonderful for everybody, except that it's estimated that something like 50,000 tons of gold have been sold to investors in the form of these paper claim checks that does not really exist. In other words, it is massively shorted. And if when this comes apart, as it's likely to, now that especially being with the impetus of these tungsten-filled gold bars that are out there, this is going to make Bernie Madoff's little ripoff, you know, look down like scotch tape on the fingers, grabbing quarters out of the church collection plate. And as I said, this is not yet calculating the impact of all these reports we're getting from China and Germany about gold bullion from Fort Knox having tungsten cores. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to... I sure would like to know if they don't do something by and by. The rich will live and the poor will die. gone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about gold shorting. We're talking about gold investing. You know, one of the problems with the United States of America is we, the American people, have been seduced
by the dark side of the force
into believing that a pretty printed piece of paper means something, whether it's a Federal Reserve note or a certificate that says you own so many coins and bars of gold bullion in the vaults at your friendly gold investing place, Inc. And, you know, we've come to, like, be told, oh, pretty printed pieces of paper, okay, then everything's taken care of. It's like we've come to believe that a warranty is the same thing as a reliable product. It isn't, really. It isn't. It's just a pretty printed piece of paper to lull you into a sense of security when you buy a product which the manufacturer knows is likely to fall apart, you know, has a good, reasonable possibility it's going to fall apart here. So now we have all of these gold investors who are out there in the real world, and they've got pretty printed pieces of paper because, after all, the gold is safer in the vaults of the brokerage than it is in my own home guarded by myself with my shotgun. And now we're finding out that there may be a lot more of those pretty printed pieces of paper than there is gold to cover it. Now, in a normal market where it's churning, you can float that kind of a short position on for a very, very long time. That's how banks operate. Banks don't actually have the money that you deposit in the bank. It's been put into circulation, or it's used as the foundation for the creation of new fictional fiat money. If you haven't seen the video Money is Debt, you need to look at that. And it's all working. But the bottom line is, it's legal for the banks to do that. It is not legal for the gold brokerages to do it. They're able to do it, and the government turns a blind eye, because by suppressing the value of gold, by putting out all these extra gold investment certificates, it helps the banks, it helps the stock market, and it basically just keeps the price of gold down. And so that your money is being given to the people who created this whole financial mess. Now, more than a few experts are realizing something is bad here. And over at the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, their chairman has sent a letter to the chairman of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, basically outlining the tremendous body of evidence they have that there is a massive physical short gold and some silver that cannot be covered. In other words, if every one of you that is holding an investor's certificate for precious metals, gold or silver, if you were all to walk in and say, I would rather have the actual bullion in my own physical control, the brokerages would be bust that night because they haven't actually bought the gold they claim they are holding in trust for you. It's a con. They have sold you a pretty printed piece of paper. And they don't even have to worry about coming up with the money to pay you profits, because the more of these pretty printed pieces of paper that go out, the lower the price of gold is kept, and the less they have to actually come up with anything. You could come in and trade in that piece of paper, and they'll give you some other pretty printed pieces of paper, meaning Federal Reserve notes, which are also worthless, and you're just shuffling the paper around. And that's what our entire country has descended to. We believe these pieces of paper mean something. They really don't. When you go back to the founding fathers setting up this nation, the actual money were units of value in silver and gold, also copper and nickel for the smaller coins. That was the money. The word dollar means a weight measure of silver. Now, there were paper notes, but they were claim checks. Silver certificates and gold certificates, they were not the money itself. You could go to any bank with a silver certificate or a gold certificate and trade that piece of paper for the actual gold and silver and put it in your pocket and walk right out of the bank. You can't do that anymore. The Federal Reserve note is not a unit of worth. We are taught from our childhood that the paper note is the money. It can't be exchanged for anything at the bank except for another paper note. There is no silver and gold. There is no worth. It is, in fact, the result of a loan from the private Federal Reserve Bank to the American people, on which interest has to be paid. So over the last 100 years, almost 100 years, since 1913, we the American people have slowly but surely been seduced away from this idea that our money is based on silver and gold. And by the way, there is a U.S. government law. The Coinage Act of, I think it was 1792, I may be a little off on the date here because it's been a while since I've looked at it, but it said that anybody who debased the currency of the United States would get a death sentence. That's how seriously the original government of this country understood that money had to have a fixed value and nobody was allowed to play with it. It was a death penalty crime to debase the currency. And yet that is exactly what the Federal Reserve Bank has been doing ever since they were handed control of U.S. monetary policy. And now we're finding out that, you know, back in the 1960s, they took the last of our silver coins out of circulation and they gave us these slugs, these copper-clad slugs that are completely worthless. But we were told by TV and the news, this is the same thing. It's still money. It's still worth the same thing, only it isn't. Go down to any coin store and buy a real silver quarter and see how much it's going to cost you. That'll tell you how debased our money has become. Now, somewhere along the line, if we're to believe the reports coming out of China and Germany, somebody decided to do the same thing with the gold bullion bars at Fort Knox. They're not solid gold anymore. We are hearing that a lot of these gold bullion bars bearing the marks from Fort Knox are found to have tungsten cores. They're like the clad coins we have in our pockets. It's not real silver. It's copper with plating on the outside. It's not real gold. It's tungsten with gold on the outside. But as long as everybody can be convinced that it's the money, everything works out all right. Until somebody actually drills into the gold bar and says, whoa, the drill bit just broke. What's going on here? German TV just did a show where they cut one of these bars in half and showed the tungsten in the middle. This is not a rumor. This is not something that you're going to go out to Snopes and they're going to say, oh, it never happened. Yeah, it's really out there. And now we're finding out from GATA and these other organizations that the paper trade in gold is massively shorted. There is far more of these pretty printed pieces of paper than there is gold out there. And because these pretty printed pieces of paper are defined in terms of the weight of the gold, not its dollar value, they can't just simply say, oh, we're going to inflate the price of the gold in order to be able to cover all of these short positions on the certificates. If everybody with a paper investment in gold were to go cash them in, go to their broker and say, I want the actual coins and bullion in my hand right now, the brokerages would go out of business that day. They don't have the gold to cover all these paper certificates. And the sad story is that many of you listening to this show who have these, who think you're invested in gold, but you don't have the coins in your own control, you think that they're sitting on a shelf in a vault somewhere, you don't. All you've got is a pretty printed piece of paper that you're going to be looking at and saying, ooh, see how rich I am. It's like, casual investors in the stock market, where the stock market is hideously overvalued, and you're looking at the numbers on that pretty printed piece of paper you get from your brokerage, and you look at the number and you say, wow, I'm really rich. And the first time there's a massive sell-off, and there's no support to the stock market, the bottom's going to drop out, and you're going to realize that in an overvalued stock market, and it's still overvalued because of the manipulation, but in an overvalued stock market, only the first ones to sell will get their money out. Everybody else gets a pretty printed piece of paper saying, ooh, look, I used to be rich. I said earlier in this hour, when a society goes corrupt, it all goes corrupt. We're seeing it. Bernie Madoff, the SEC sat and let him do it for all this time. Now we're finding out even Fort Knox may not be on the up and up. We should have an audit of Fort Knox. We should have an audit of the Fed. Actually, we should just get rid of the Fed. You know, forget the audit. Let's just go right to tar and feather and run them out of town on a rail. All right, we're going to take a break for news and commercials. We'll be back in about 8 minutes, so stay tuned. We're going to be talking about taxation, the rest of the economy, cities in trouble, counties in trouble. The Internet may be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Join us on the air, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. Now, we're talking about the economy, and we're talking about this, what I like to call the death spiral. We're all out of money, so we're not buying stuff, so sales taxes are going down. We're not working, so income tax is going down. What are the governments doing about it? They're raising taxes. Or they're finding new things to tax. This last weekend, I am not kidding you, in Virginia, the police were ordered to just spend all their time along the big highways and write tickets. Tickets, 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 tickets. They wrote 7,000 moving violations over the weekend because, hey, they need the money more than you do. I'm sorry. That's got nothing to do with traffic safety. It's got nothing to do with anything except pillaging the American people. That's the stage our country has descended to. The government is looting and pillaging the people. They're just barely hanging on to the illusion of legality. I'm sure most of the people who got those tickets understand full well they may not have actually done something that warranted a ticket. We have a whistleblower coming out of New York saying that innocent people were being framed and set up in order to justify writing tickets with huge fines attached to them. We have counties and cities are taxing 9/11 calls. They're charging fees for services from facilities that your taxes already paid for. Taxes on soft drinks, taxes on bottled water. More taxes on groceries. They want to tax the grocery bags, all under the excuse of, oh, this is good for the environment. You're using these non-recyclable bags. We're going to tax you because that will make the world fresh and clean and green. They don't say how, because the money isn't going for anything except trying to cover their budgetary shortfalls. And a lot of people are beginning to view their own local hometowns as just as desperately greedy as the airlines, where you buy a ticket. I remember the good old days of aviation, where you'd buy a ticket and everything was there. The in-flight meal, peanuts, sodas, for the really long flights, blindfolds, little slippers, magazines, deck of cards. Man, you'd walk off that airplane with a bag full of loot. The glory days of Pan Am. These days, everything's an extra fee. When my wife went to Tucson for her little composers, conductors convention, she had one little bag. Could have been a carry-on, fit the little rack thing, but she didn't want to have to carry it. So we said, okay, we'll check it, no big deal. $25 surcharge for a single checked bag. $50 if it's over a certain weight. That caught us completely by surprise. We're used to the idea that when you buy a plane ticket for yourself, you get to take a piece of luggage without having to pay for it. But that's the state that we're in. Everything that you do costs more money. In fact, you know what it reminds me of? There was this movie made about Popeye, and it starred Robin Williams. Cute little film. Cute little film. And they have a character in there of the tax man. And no matter what Popeye is doing, everything he does, turns left, there's a tax, turns right, there's a tax, asks a question, there's a tax on that too. And we laugh at it because it seems absurd in the movie, and now all of a sudden we realize our governments are getting that desperate for money. They're taxing everything, including the use of facilities you've already paid for with your other taxes. There are taxes on taxes. And the problem I have with this is not just because I'm anti-tax. It's because all taxes and fees do is move the money around. It's not bringing any new money in, and that's what we need. So like I said, and as a matter of fact, there was an article in the local paper where, you know, Hawaii's state government, because they are such a major employer here on the island, and now they're letting people go, that it's actually prolonging the recession. And so they have all these experts go over to the state capitol, and everyone says, well, we've got to raise taxes so we can hire these people back. Raise taxes from who? Every time you increase employee taxes, somebody gets fired. Every time you raise taxes on a business, they have to let people go. Every time you raise taxes on a home, they go into foreclosure. And I wrote a letter to our local newspaper, the Honolulu Advertiser, which they'll probably ignore, as they tend to ignore 90% of the letters that I write. And I said, our economy is a canoe with 10 holes in the bottom and 5 corks. And everything the state government is doing is pulling a cork from one hole and shoving it into another in front of the press cameras. And the politician saying, I'm fixing it. Really? And that's what they're doing. And everybody's looking at other ways they can grab money from your wallet, dig under your seat cushions, get a few coins there, and nobody's addressing the real problem. We don't have enough corks. And here in Hawaii, the reason we don't have enough corks is because of TSA having utterly destroyed our tourism industry. But for the nation as a whole, you know, where do you get corks? Manufacturing. You make products other countries want to buy to offset the products you buy from other countries. But the federal government, in its not-so-infinite wisdom, gave tax credits to American corporations to allow them, to encourage them even, going back to the Bush administration, to send these high-paying manufacturing jobs to other countries. And Obama, despite promises that he would change the situation, has not, in fact, done anything about it. IBM just announced they're offshoring more of their jobs to save money. If we had a courageous president, if we had a courageous Congress, we could change the tax laws to say that if you're sending jobs to other countries, you will pay more taxes on that than if you keep them here. They won't do it because these big corporations are huge campaign donors, and once they're bought, they stay bought. That's honor in Washington, D.C. Now, the latest polls are showing that 82% of Americans are saying that it's time to clamp down on Wall Street. It was a mistake to repeal Glass-Steagall. Everybody recognizes that now. Independent non-government financial experts are saying it's time to break up the big banks. But Summers, Geithner, Bernanke, and the Congress like things just the way they are because they get a piece of the action. When the bankers are out there in Wall Street and AIG and Goldman Sachs are raking in the dough, they turn around and they tithe a percentage, a piece of the action to Congress. That's why Congress is so wealthy. Congress doesn't understand what it's like to be struggling to pay the bills. They're all rich. It's not really a representative body for the most part. Nancy Pelosi is worth $500 million. She has no idea what it's like for a working mother with a couple of kids trying to hang on to a house whose interest rate on the adjustable rate mortgage just went right through the roof. These people don't feel your pain. I know Bill Clinton used to say that all the time. I feel your pain. I really do. I feel your pain. No, he didn't. They're all fabulously wealthy. Bill Clinton was living in the governor's mansion. Then he was living in the White House. He doesn't have to worry about making mortgage payments. He doesn't feel your pain. He's blind to it. He can't see it. When you have people who have lived lives of privilege and comfort and wealth their entire life, they don't represent you because they absolutely don't understand you. And for many of them, as typified by Andrew Carnegie, they see the poor as not even of the same species. They are just there to be exploited, sent off to war, harvested for money. That's their role in society. Or so goeth the conventional wisdom in Sodom on the Potomac. And that is why, even though everybody with an ounce of sense out here in the real world understands what went wrong with the economy, we're not seeing the federal government, the president, or the Congress do anything to change the situation. Because it works for them. They're getting lots of money. And the banks make more money kicking you out of your home. So they're going to kick you out of your home. That is exactly how ruthless our government has become against the American people. I think maybe it's time that we stood up and said, I don't like that anymore. All righty. Now, interestingly enough, okay, we're just at the end of the segment. I want to hold here because I've got another story. I want to make a point here. And we're going to take a break here for some commercials. Join us on the air, 866-582-9933. When we come back, a little bit of compare and contrast between the American news media and the foreign news media. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I just wanted to do this little compare and contrast situation here. I was looking at CNN earlier today, and it's not just CNN. All the big networks are doing it. They're having this love fest with Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks and their co-executive producers. They've come back with this new Ain't War Glamorous miniseries called Pacific. It's on HBO, and they're talking it up, and they're showing clips, and it's a big, huge media spin to get everybody to watch this, especially the young kids, see how great war is and how much fun it's going to be and how heroic you'll look if you'll just sign these enlistment papers right here. And that is saturation all day long. And so Hanks and Spielberg showed up at the memorial for World War II soldiers and did a big presentation there. And it's all well and good that they did, because we do need to remember all the people who died in World War II who were not in a German slave labor camp. But it's not news. It's a commercial. Just, you know, and they're pounding on it and pounding on it and pounding on it. And in between that, we get stories about Michelle Obama's dresses on display at the Smithsonian Institution. And the latest movie star who has died of a drug overdose, I don't remember his last name. I remember seeing him in a movie, but, you know, another burnout in Hollywood who died of a drug overdose. And I'm sorry. That's not news either. Doesn't affect my life. Meanwhile, over on BBC, they had a documentary last night about the economic situation here in the United States of America, and what was on BBC will never, ever be seen on American news television, because what they were showing, the point of this documentary, they were going around to all of these various town meetings in which the town governments are saying, we're sorry, we are out of money, we can't provide the services that you pay taxes for. And the citizens are getting angry, and they're saying, why? And the answer keeps coming back, well, because all the money got spent on Wall Street, or it's being spent on the wars. My postscript to that is, or it's being poured all over Israel. And this show from BBC really showed how angry Americans are. And it was a continuation of the anger that we saw in the various town hall meetings that we had briefly last year before the politicians realized they were risking a public lynching by exposing themselves in person to the voters. This BBC documentary told us more about the truth of what's going on in the United States of America than we get in an entire month from the major American television networks. That's the compare and contrast. We're getting Hollywood tabloid news on CNN here in this country. BBC is telling us what's really going on. This is one of the reasons why I think more and more people get satellite dishes, so that they can get the foreign broadcasts and find out what's really going on, because that is what is affecting your life. Michelle Obama's dress does not affect my life. Another dead Hollywood star doesn't affect my life. Even Spielberg and Tom Hanks' latest Hollywood blockbuster doesn't affect my life, even though for the most part I like Spielberg and Tom Hanks' work. But it's not news. It's advertising. News is what affects our lives. And obviously the economy affects our life. And the bottom line, I've been running these stories for the last couple of days. I had another whole bunch I was going to go through today. And I'm going to skip it because there's not much point to it. City after city, county after county, state after state is saying we've run out of money. The money's all gone. Where did it go? Well, Wall Street. Wall Street got it. The war's got it. The war machine has it. Up in New York City, remember how we lionized the emergency responders on 9/11? What heroes they were. How many died? How many to this very day are still dealing with the health consequences of the EPA saying, sure, you can go on down there and breathe the air. There's nothing going on down there. Okay? I mean, firefighters. I think firefighters are probably the only institution left in this country that we still have respect for. that we still have a good image of. I'm not saying that they're all swell guys. I've been disappointed too many times. But we still like firefighters. Yeah, they're cool. You know, they're not taking payola like the police do or the politicians do. And, they're not selling drugs out of the back of their squad car, you know, which is where I used to score when I was going to college. But the New York's fire department is looking at closing 62 fire companies and laying off more than 1,000 firefighters under the current financial hardship. Ooh, all the firebugs in New York are getting so excited. It's going to be so much fun. We're not getting the services that we pay for. But, of course, you know, trillions for Wall Street, trillions for war, billions for Israel, and it never, ever stops. Now, on that very note here, Wyoming Governor Dave Freudenthal signed House Joint Resolution 2, right out of the gate, man, claiming sovereignty on behalf of the state of Wyoming. This is the latest in a series of what are being called 10th Amendment sovereignty resolutions. Basically, it's a note to the federal government, butt out. None of your business what goes on in this state. The 10th Amendment forbids the federal government from assuming rights and prerogatives not explicitly delineated in the Constitution. I think we have 11 states now, which I'm proud to say Hawaii is one of them, who have passed legislation saying that the 10th Amendment will be the law of the land within our state borders. The federal government is not allowed to come in here and tinker where they don't belong. This is probably going to have its most immediate impact on the attempt by the Obama administration to make sure that all Americans have health insurance by ordering us to go out and buy health insurance from the insurance companies that were such generous donors to the campaign 2 years ago. And it's looking now like Obamacare is definitely hitting the skids, as well it should. And I don't have a problem with government-managed health care and single-payer and public option, where it works, places like France and Norway and Canada. The problem I have with government-managed health care in this country is the government that's going to wind up managing it. All right. Quick little story. There is apparently some buzz going around Italy and Europe that the Internet, collectively as a whole, may be nominated for this year's Nobel Peace Prize. And I think that would be perfectly appropriate. I mean, we've had the computer, the personal computer, as Time's, human of the year or machine of the year. Because definitely, and certainly in the present circumstance, the Internet, collectively, the blogosphere, the alternative media, seems to be the only entity that actually is working for world peace right now. Israel certainly isn't. Al Gore isn't. He's just out there to sell his carbon credits. Obama certainly is. What an insult that was to everybody who ever won a Nobel Peace Prize. Except for Kissinger, I suppose. But apparently the Nobel Committee has decided that they may have gone a little too far, may have jumped the shark, by giving Obama and Al Gore and belatedly Henry Kissinger a Nobel Peace Prize. And now they're trying to compensate this year. They're looking at some serious contenders. I still think Cindy Sheehan should be in the running. That's just my opinion. But if I were on the Nobel Committee, I would definitely be putting her up there. Cynthia McKinney, there's another one there. But if the Internet wins, I get to go to Nora. All right, we'll be right back.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. During the break, somebody sent me the story in the email. This comes from the I just don't believe this anymore. Okay? This is being reported in the Washington Examiner. Okay? And basically what they're saying is House Democrats, led by Nancy Pelosi, are trying to use a legal technicality called the Slaughter Solution to cram the Senate version of Obamacare through the House without actually having a vote on it. Now, if Nancy Pelosi and the machine politicians and Obama can run this through the House of Representatives without a vote because of this little loophole they've found, why do we even need a House of Representatives? We don't have a representative government anyway. We found that out during TARP. 90% of Americans said, don't give our tax money to Wall Street. And they did it anyway. 90% of Americans want the war in Afghanistan ended. The House of Representatives voted that down last night. Kucinich introduced a resolution to end the Afghan war. The House voted it down 356 to 65. Republicans and Democrats, they're bought by the war machine, and they voted to continue to send your children to die in a war in Afghanistan that is based on lies. Now we're seeing this story. I don't know how real, I don't know if they're really going to be able to pull this off, but that's what Washington Examiner is reporting, is that Pelosi is trying to find a way to shove the Senate version of Obamacare through the House without actually bringing it to the floor for a vote. The slaughter solution, the rule that would declare that the House deems the Senate version to have been passed, the House members would have to vote to accept the rule, but they could sort of get away with it by saying, well, I voted for the rule, but I didn't vote for the bill itself, to the very, very angry voters they're going to be facing in November. I mean, from this machination, it is obvious to me that the concern here in the House of Representatives isn't whether or not the Obamacare is good for the people or bad for the people or bad for the economy. It's how is it going to look going into these elections in November? And the obvious answer there is Americans are overwhelmingly opposed to this. And so this is going to give them an out. They can vote to accept the slaughter rule, which will then simply say, we declare the bill to be passed without a vote. And they're off the hook. The bill goes through. You get screwed with mandatory health insurance, which will be about the same quality as mandatory auto insurance. And the politicians will say, oh, I didn't vote for that. I absolutely did not vote for that. And, of course, by voting for the rule, they did. But this gives them deniability come Election Day. It's just amazing how completely messed up the Congress has become. Tar and feathers for the lot of them. I just absolutely. One more, and then I know we got a whole bunch of phone calls we got to get to for the rest of the show, but I wanted to get to this one. Over in Great Britain, the government is running an ad telling people to report their neighbors who close their curtains, because that is evidence that they may be potential suicide bombers. I am not kidding. Remember yesterday we were talking about how the Department of Homeland Security is paying people to go out and play World of Warcraft because they want to keep an eye on anybody who enjoys blowing up things in the game just a little too much
as a potential terrorist.
You know, maybe they're pen pals with Jihad Jane, Bomber Bill, Chemical Ali, and all these other game characters we've invented to impress you with. So this is the latest thing. They're so desperate to just keep that idea of fear up that they're telling everybody in Britain, if your neighbor closes their curtains, they might be terrorists.
So if you're a loyal patriot, loyal subject, loyal citizen, keep those curtains open.
I'm sorry, last time I left my curtains open, I almost got arrested for indecent exposure. So you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. I don't know what they're thinking over there in Great Britain. I like my privacy. Doesn't make me a terrorist. Makes me private. It's amazing. All right, we're going to grab a couple of quick phone calls here. Peter in California. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. I don't know. I've missed your last two shows, so I don't know if you've talked about
it. Didn't miss much.
But I wanted to ask you what or bring up, at any rate, whether you've mentioned it or not before, about the Israeli announcement they're going to have 1,500 new settlements right on the heels, hours after Biden was over there.
Oh, it was a major slap in the face. And you know what's interesting is our American media is like saying, oh, how are we going to repair our relationship with Israel after this? We're not the ones to be repairing. Israel basically thumbed its nose at Joe Biden.
Yeah, well,
and authorized three different sets of construction in the occupied territories while he's there trying to talk about peace. It was Israel's way of saying F you to Joe Biden. And yet our media is saying, oh, boy, you better do something, Joe, you know, to repair relations with Israel because this is a serious breach.
I get a kick out of it anymore. It's like they're so bought and paid for, and they control so much that a public bitch slapping and nothing happens, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what's interesting? Now we're hearing that Hillary Clinton is going to be the keynote speaker at this year's AIPAC convention. I mean, that tells us right now she knows the White House is up for grabs in 2012. Obama's going to be a single-term president. She's going to run against him in the primary. If the GOP goes ahead as expected and puts Caribou Barbie up as their nominee, we're going to get Hillary as president, and we're going to get war on everybody that Israel hates 1 week after the swearing-in ceremony.
I know. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay?
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks a lot. Switch over to Dee in Minnesota. Aloha, Dee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Did you hear about the deal with Iran? I guess there's no sanctions. Russia's come out totally against it now.
Yeah,
they just
knew that.
Fired cruise missiles. That mm-hmm. was on the news last week.
Mm-hmm.
They also are building carriers. I can't. And it's also come out that Turkey and Brazil are against sanctions, too, now.
Yeah.
So I don't know where anybody thinks how Gates gets off talking about, well, goes and talks to Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates about there's going to be sanctions. I don't know where they're getting that from.
Well, the only sanctions are the ones the United States are imposing, which simply means that our petroleum industry loses one more major customer, and China's and Russia's petroleum industries gain a major customer.
Well, and they can't even keep track of that. There's companies still doing business with Iran, even though there's sanctions.
Yeah, everybody's doing the nudge, nudge, wink, wink over there. But this is the reason that Israel's coming out there and saying, you've got 4 weeks to get these sanctions put together, or by golly, we're going to order you to... You know, start. And by the way, AIPAC, same AIPAC that Hillary's sucking up to right now, just sent letters to every member of Congress, which basically said, you will get this war going.
Oh, thank you very much, AIPAC. I always wanted our economy trashed.
Well, it's already trashed, but from AIPAC's point of view, they don't care. They don't care as long as they get their money. I mean, their whole attitude is, we get the money. If you've run out of money, that's your problem because you let it happen. That's a very common attitude there. My first wife had that attitude.
Oh,
you know, if she was able to take advantage of somebody, she never felt guilty about it because the other guy let it happen. That was the ethic she was raised with. So anyway, we've got AIPAC is in there. There, and we've got all these Israel firsters in our government. They've got Israel's flag on the wall. They're not even trying to hide the fact that they are running the American nation for the benefit of Israel. And that means your taxes go to Israel and your children die in Israel's wars. I think, though, Israel understands that we, the American people, are finally fed up with what Israel's doing to our country, with the subversion of our country by Israel, and shouts of anti-Semite and Holocaust are not going to make that go away.
Well,
it's not going to silence us anymore.
And then Joe Biden going over there and get made a fool out of, that was just something else.
Oh, yeah, and he stands there and says, thank you, sir, may I have another?
Well, he says, sir, I condemned it. It's like, you condemned it? That's just words. We're paying their bills. Why are you putting up with this garbage?
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Why are we paying their bills? They've got enough money. They've got nuclear weapons. Why are we still? We weren't the cause of the Holocaust. We sent our young men over there to stop Hitler. Why aren't they sending us money? Thank you for the call, Dee. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm getting more and more feed on this so-called slaughter rule. It's igniting a big fight in the halls of Congress simply because, obviously those members of Congress who are facing re-election this November understand that now is the time they have to pay attention to what their constituents are saying, or they're going to lose their jobs. And so Pelosi is pulling out this slaughter rule in an attempt to give those few politicians still listening to the American people the political cover to allow them to say, oh, well, screw the American people. I'm going to get a huge bunch of lobbying money and campaign contributions if I go along with this whole thing. So it's a big procedural fight. And the bottom line here is that even the Congress has become corrupted. And I don't mean by the money situation. I mean they have written themselves so many special little rules and loopholes that they can basically do what they want to do and not even pay attention to most of the members of Congress themselves, especially the first-termers. Remember, the reason we're in the economic mess that we're in is back in 1913, a bunch of Congress critters walked into the Capitol building on Christmas vacation, voted to waive the quorum rule, and then voted through the Federal Reserve Act, which is why we're in the mess that we're in right now. And so Congress doesn't even really follow its own rules, and it leaves itself loopholes and trapdoors, and that's what we're seeing right now. And Pelosi is trying to get the Senate version of the health care bill through the House without actually having a vote on it, because this loophole, the slaughter rule, allows the House to simply vote to deem that it is passed, even though there is no vote recorded for it. And it's just, it is a perversion of the process that the Founding Fathers set up to govern this country. I mean, this is proof our Congress has completely abandoned their original constitutional responsibilities here. I think it's tar and feathers time. I really do. I absolutely, honestly do. All right, now, Rita wrote in earlier today asking why he was seeing all these commercials all over the TV about how the movie Shutter Island is the number one film in America, which I wondered about that myself because I went to see it. I was actually asked to write a review on it for a local paper, which they did publish, even though I was absolutely scathing. I thought it was a terrible movie. You know, jarring editing mismatches, continuity errors, the soundtrack just pounding at you without any, just every cheap, you know, manipulative trick that Scorsese could think of to try and make a suspenseful movie out of a very dull story that he was doing. And it didn't really work. And so I went out to the Internet Movie Database and I took a look at the box office and found out that Shutter Island is not the number one movie in America. At the moment, its box office is just marginally better than that of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, which is a little kind of a pathetic, desperate Harry Potter wannabe. And it's not getting its traction either. So, I mean, there are a lot of movies that are way, way, way more popular than Shutter Island. Avatar, obviously. Alice is doing very well. That looks to be a very fun movie. Valentine's Day is ahead of Shutter Island. So I don't know what criteria they have for the commercials to say it's the number one movie in America, but I know why they're spending all this money to advertising it, because by golly, they're going to make sure that movie-going audiences in America get their daily required dose of Holocaust and Nazi imagery. Because it's in this movie, it serves no purpose whatsoever to support the story. It's just an excuse. Oh, we've got time to fill. Let's put the Nazis in there. And it was at that point I said, I want to walk out of this. If I hadn't been asked to be there to write a review of this movie, I would have walked out of the theater at that point. And it's very rare for me to walk out of a movie theater. I think the last time I actually walked out of a movie theater was this really horrible science fiction movie. And I was the VFX soup on it, too. Brain Scan, I think it was. And I, where the severed foot showed up, I said, I'm not having fun, and my wife and I left. But I digress. But the point is, you're always going to get your daily dose of Nazis and Holocaust, because you got to go on believing on that. Which brings me to these last two stories. Coming out of Great Britain, apparently there is a program now where young British students who work for 2 weeks at a McDonald's will be awarded a qualification worth up to a B grade at GCSE, which is, I presume, their equivalent of a general education requirement. But the bottom line is, at the British schools, you know, you're basically saying, go work at McDonald's, you get a grade. This does not strike me as particularly educational, especially in the 21st century, we're living in a technological world. And if we're going to compete with other countries in manufacturing and high tech, we've got to be teaching our kids reading, writing, arithmetic, science, engineering, logic, electronics, all of those things that will make them competitive. Instead, the taxpayer-funded school system is sending the kids to go over to learn how to put French fries in a little cardboard thing with the special tool they have that stands them all up nice and straight. Okay, in this country, our schools are running out of money. 4-day school weeks here in Hawaii, 3-year high school in Utah. They just closed today. Half the schools in Kansas City, half of them are being shut down because they've run out of money. But there's always money and time for one important aspect of our children's education. It turns out that over at St. Hilary's Primary School, no relation to the Secretary of State, they decided they were going to run a demonstration of the horrors faced by Jewish children during World War II. Without informing the children ahead of time, without informing the parents, they simply grabbed a group of children out of the class and said, "We're sorry, your parents are dead, you're going to be sent to an orphanage." And obviously the kids broke into tears. And this was supposed to simulate what happened when you went to the slave labor camps and, you know, whatever the mythology is. But the bottom line is, we don't have money enough to teach our kids. This is Great Britain. They're sending their kids to work at McDonald's because they don't have the resources to teach them real skills. But they have the resources to feed them this brainwashing. Now, the parents are upset, and I don't blame them. This is nonsense. Whatever happened in World War II is in the first half of the previous century. It is ancient history relative to these young kids. And they have been traumatized by this stunt. Absolutely traumatized. Parents are officially complaining, and they should. This teacher should be fired. Because the purpose of schools are supposed to be to teach our children the necessary skills to think and function in the present-day society. Not to worship the Orthodox revealed history of the last century. This isn't education, this is brainwashing. The parents should be angry. That teacher should be fired immediately and banned from ever teaching again. If you have a huge school budget and the kids' needs for basic science and engineering and math are taken care of, then maybe as an option you could say, we're going to have a little Holocaust workshop if you want to show up. You know, make it an elective. I don't have a problem with that. But to force this traumatizing incident on kids in the name of supporting Israel. This is obscene. This isn't education. This is propaganda. This is brainwashing. This is the crap that the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics used to play on their kids. And the British, the parents of these kids are angry, and they ought to be. And they ought to demand not only the firing of that teacher, but every one of the senior officials in that school who signed off on this need to be given the sack and banned from education ever again. This is a horrible misuse of the school system. It's a horrible misuse of what few educational resources we have left. It is a terrible abuse of the children themselves. I'll tell you right now, those kids are going to be having nightmares for months. We got to make sure that you believe the correct thing. Go see Shutter Island. Get your daily dose of Nazis. History International is advertising their latest offering. It's the Fourth Reich. They're going to be talking about all the Nazi war criminals who escaped World War II and what a threat they are. I'm sorry, even if they could find their teeth, any surviving Nazi war criminals aren't a threat to anybody because they keep falling out of their walkers. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central, here on the Genesis Communication Network. Until then, stay safe, stay angry, stay skeptical, and aloha, America.